I'll tell you quite frankly, I'm not here for a job. I don't want to just have a nice church where people come and feel good. I believe that God wants us here to encounter on a regular basis the fire of God's Holy Spirit, where He transforms us, where He energizes us, and where He enables us to do what God wants us to do. A couple weeks ago, just before we got here, Brenda and I were privileged to be at, my whole family was privileged to be at a wedding in Houston of dear friends. Both families used to attend this church. And so Micah Hughes and Avery Eichel, some of you will remember them. They were married. It was a wonderful wedding. But the day before the wedding, the auntie of the groom, when she came to Houston, was in the hotel, and I found out, somebody told me at the house, that she had a horrible migraine headache, and she was down for the count, and it looked like she was going to be there for 2 or 3 days. It would totally ruin the weekend, miss the wedding, everything. I know a bit about migraines because my mom struggled with that her whole life. It's kind where you just, I can't imagine the pain, but they tell me you have to close the blinds because light bothers you, no sounds because the sounds bothers you. She was sick to her stomach, just everything was awful. Anyway, that's the condition this woman was in. We heard about it. Now, when I hear those things, my pastor's heart kicks in, and I feel compassion. I wish I could help, whatever, but I can't take a headache away. You know, so many times you visit people, you pray with them, whatever. But in that moment, I sense the Spirit of God saying, you need to pray for her. And so there were about 3 or 4 of us together. And I says, you know what, why don't we just pause right now and pray for this woman? And so we joined hands, and in proxy, we prayed for her. And we felt like in the New Testament, you know, people would bring people to Jesus, some on the mat, some through the roof. They just wanted to get them to Him. They didn't have the power to do it, but they knew Jesus did. And so they brought them to Jesus. Well, that's what we did in prayer. We simply brought this woman, even though she was still in the hotel, we brought her to Jesus, laid her at His feet and said, Jesus, would you please touch and heal and restore, drive out that migraine and raise her up. A couple hours later, she was at the house. And whole, perfectly, the migraine had lifted and gone. I can't do that. But I want to be in the place where God can do that. I long to live a life where I am enabled with power from on high. And so do you if you're God's child. And as we study fire over these weeks, you're going to sense that God is breathing on us. He's raining down, as we sang about before, and bringing us new life. Getting fired up also means encouragement. Every single one of us need encouragement at different points in our life. If you've ever been cold, it's hard to imagine being cold today. But if you've ever been cold in your life, you know what it's like to come near a fire, in a fireplace or outside a campfire, or somewhere where you can just come and kind of cozy up and you put your hands there and you just kind of rotate them, and then you get your feet up there and then you kind of rotate and get it on your back, and you love that fire to take the chill out of your life and out of your flesh and out of your bones. You've been there, right? You know what that's like. Well, just as fire, physical fire, is to your cold body, so encouragement is to your soul. All of us get cold in our soul at different times. And the fire of God means getting encouragement. Encouragement for our soul that will take the chill away and bring the warmth of God's truth and light. Some of you here this morning may be cold in your relationships. Perhaps you're lonely. Your marriage may be hurting. Or perhaps that parent-child relationship is strained this morning. You may have lots of surface acquaintances, but nobody who really breathes life into your soul. I know one thing about you, no matter where you've come from. You long to be loved. You long to be valued. You long to be appreciated. You need encouragement. Some of you are cold in your heart this morning. Perhaps you've been hurt. Somebody willfully, or maybe somebody unwillfully, hurt you. But you carry that hurt. You've nursed that hurt. And you have the icicles of death hanging from your anger, your resentment, your bitterness, and your hatred. Dear friend, God wants to melt away those things with the loving fire of His encouragement. Some of you this morning may be scared. fear has gripped your heart and your mind. It's incapacitated you. It's binding you up and limiting you from the freedom that is yours in Jesus Christ. Some of you are scared to say anything for God. Say, well, we can't. Yes, you can. Some of you are scared to do anything for God. We can't do that. Yes, you can. Some of you are scared to attempt anything for God. Yes, you can. You need encouragement to be set free from your fears. The fire of God's truth, dear friends, is going to provide lots of encouragement for us in the weeks to come. Getting fired up also means getting... Come on, here we go. There we go. It means getting enlarged. One characteristic about fire is it requires fuel. You can't burn a fire without fuel. And whether it's gas or oil or grass or sticks or wood, whatever, it needs combustible material. And fire, by its nature, isn't just satisfied with what it burns. It always requires more. Fire always demands more fuel. Either that or it goes out. And so, as we look at this truth about fire, we're going to see the expanding nature of it. One of the sad things about many professing Christians is that the fire that they refer to in their life is a bygone event. Many times when I ask somebody if they'd be willing to give their testimony in a context, whether it's in a small group or in a service or just to someone else, you can just almost watch the shock come over their face. What would I say? And then when they do calculate their thoughts, it's, well, yes, I remember back in 1984 when... 1984 was fine. But what about this year? What about this month? What about this morning? Dear friends, God's fire wants to burn not just at one point in your past and get you ready for heaven. God's fire wants to burn in regular ways, in ever-expanding ways, every day of your life. It wants to claim more and more territory of your mind, of your will, of your emotions, of your body, of your direction. Everything God wants to burn in you. He wants to burn out the dross, that which keeps you from His blessing. He wants to put the fire of His energy and His enablement in you. He wants to expand His work through every part of your being until you and I are wholly sanctified, set apart for God, ready for His service. That's His purpose for you. God wants to expand and enlarge His work with you. And His fire does that. God also wants to enlarge His work through you. He wants to minister through you to others. He wants to touch other people with the fire of His light and His warmth. He wants to minister to others the grace that you and I have received so freely, to pass on the mercy, to give the blessings. God wants to enlarge. That's what He wants to do through you. And again, I find many Christians are very hesitant about this. I know some of you, perhaps many of you, have never invited somebody to church. What I'm about to say is going to sound harsh, but how selfish. Why should you have so much from God and you not freely share it with somebody else? That's downright selfish. God's fire within you was not meant to stay within you. It was meant to propel you to share His love with other people. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can. Go for it. Can I encourage you? Do you know anybody in this community, maybe in your school class, maybe in the place you work, maybe in your neighborhood or your building? Do you know anybody who would need some of these things we've been talking about this morning? And who might be interested? Yeah, they would. I talk to a lot of people as a pastor in the community, and when I get around to inviting them to the church, they say, you know what, nobody's ever invited me to your church. I say, you mean you would have come? Oh yeah, I would have come if somebody would invite me. Invite them. They can only say no. But they probably will say yes. Invite them. Invite them to your cell group. Invite them to church. Invite them to your house. Why not invite them back next week? Identify two or three people in your mind who you think could use any of these things we talked about this morning. Pray for them this week, and at some point, invite them. You'll be surprised. I'm not doing that just so we get a larger church. I'm doing that so that God's fire, the blessings of His heat and His light and His truth and His life, will bless other people. It is a shame that we keep it unto ourselves. Go for it. God wants to enlarge His work. Getting fired up also means enthusiasm. Now, this is what most people think of when they think of fired up. We think of a motivational speaker going into a... And these guys make unbelievable amounts of money in North America. They go from place to place speaking to business communities or sales forces or various groups of people. And they fire them up. They get them... They pump them up. There's different terms for it. But it basically means to enthuse people. We also think of it in sports terms when a coach or somebody else will fire up their team by a pep talk. They go in there and say words that will get them going. I remember back in my second year of Bible college, we played hockey, and we were too good for the league we were in, so they moved us up to another league, a tougher league, with the universities in the area and some of the farm teams preparing them for the professionals. And our first game was against Pence, which was about, 30 miles away from Regina. And we drove up there one night. I'll never forget it. I got on the ice, and these guys, the opposite team, started to skate on the ice. They were these honking, big, bruising farm boys. You know, arms like my thighs, 6'6", skating on the ice, and we're going, oh my goodness, we got to face these guys. I don't know what their coach told them. Can I get some water, please? I don't know what their coach told them in their dressing room, but it was probably something like, go kill the Bible boys. Because we got on the ice and literally we were tomato paste on the boards. They were just smashing us all over the place. We could hardly touch the puck. They're boom, boom, boom. It was horrible. We went back. We limped back literally to the dressing room after the first period, thinking this was going to be a horrible... We were in the wrong league. We were in the definitely in the wrong stadium playing. Anyway, our coach sat us down because he had told us to go and properly represent Jesus out on the ice. We got back in there between the first and second period, and he said, big low voice, well, boys, looks like we need to change our strategy. He said, I want you to go out there and play their game. I want you to play clean, but I want you to play hard. Go nail those guys. You may say that. I'm sorry if that offends you, but that's what he told us. So, I tell you, that pumped us up. We got in there, we got out there, and the second period, they were tomato paste on the boards. We were giving them what they gave us. We were knocking them. We were showing them we could stand up to them, and the whole second period was like that. Finally, by the end of the second period, they started to die down. Third period, we got out there, and we played hockey, and the rest of the season was wonderful. Those few words that our coach spoke in the dressing room had a way of transforming us and changing our whole ability to play hockey. That's a human pep talk, a motivational talk that provided enthusiasm. True enthusiasm, though, is not just a pep talk. The word enthuse comes from two Greek words, en, meaning in, and theos, meaning God. Enthuse means in God. True motivation, true enthusiasm, true zest for life, for getting on with what God has called us to do, only comes from God. It comes from being in God and from God being in us. That's true enthusiasm. And that's what we're going to be looking at, dear friends, over the next 14 weeks. How you and I can go deeper and deeper in God. And how we can have the fire of God deeper and more thoroughly throughout our entire person. Do you need some of this? Do you need enticement? Do you need engagement? Do you need enrichment, enlightenment, energizing, enabling, encouragement, enlargement? Do you need enthusiasm? If you need any of these things, or you know anybody else who needs these things, then block out the next 14 weeks. Prioritize them in your calendar, move everything else around them, and get ready for an amazing encounter with the fire of God. Will you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for the way that your word speaks to our hearts. And that even this morning you are kindling the sparks of a new fire within many of us and fanning into flame those sparks or flames that were already there in some. Father, we pray that whatever you are beginning in us individually and as a church, that your spirit will be the fire. Lord, I don't want to be just another motivational speaker. I want you to be the one who breathes your life into us as a congregation. And just as we sang before, Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain down your fire. I know that's mixing metaphors, but please come in the power of your spirit and minister to your children. Meet the needs that are here. Touch lives. Raise people up. Begin to do your work in new ways that we haven't even begun to imagine. And so we commit each life to you. We commit our families to you. We commit our church to you. We commit the next 14 weeks to you and beyond that, and pray that you would lead us into all that you have for us, because we want you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.